Gag from JoJo Show.
Hi guys.
Hi guys.
So it's time again to discuss the weird, wonderful and wacky world in which we live. So first item for today, useless fact. Scotland is home to the world's shortest commercial flight.
Okay.
Loganair operates a flight between Westray Island and Papa Westray. It takes just 90 seconds for the 1.7 mile journey flight.
90 seconds? I mean, you could practically walk it.
Apart from the fact it's a tiny island and you would actually have to swim in, but yeah.
Yeah, why wouldn't you take a boat? Why would you take a plane? That's madness.
Why not? Why not take a plane?
90 seconds in the air.
Yeah.
Just grab a balloon.
Wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't that be nice to just get on a flight to Thailand and say, all right, well, the flight duration's going to be for this flight 90 seconds. And you just get on 90 seconds. You know, you wouldn't even get time to have a drink, would you?
No.
Unless it was a shot or something.
Yeah. Just stand up. Hold on.
Just stand up, yeah. No seats needed. Get twice as many passengers on.
Exactly.
90 seconds, done. That'd be nice.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, it's crazy. It's almost
how much
like,
is it, I wonder?
Yeah, we'll have to look into that.
Yeah. Let us know, guys.
Yeah, if anybody comes from that neck of the woods, let us know. It's probably something hideous, like about 350 quid.
Exactly. Yeah.
And that's why there's like one person on the flight normally. But there we are. So on travel, in the news this week, a train from Reading to Gatwick right. has been hijacked, wait for it, by squirrels.
Squirrels.
Squirrels. Yeah, so last Monday, two squirrels boarded the 0845 Reading to Gatwick train. and apparently it forced passengers to flee to other carriages, or they did. I don't know if they were like giant squirrels with Dom Jolly or something, but, you know, I can't imagine they'd be that scary, really, would they?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't think I'd want to share a carriage with a squirrel.
I wouldn't necessarily want to share one, but I don't think it's enough to sort of scare me off the carriage.
No, I mean, I that's just so bizarre.
I suppose if you had peanuts or something, it might be quite attractive to you. But
yeah,
staff were alerted and they tried to get the pair off the train. You imagine like there were people bunking the train or whatever. Tried to get the pair off by luring them with snacks and broomsticks.
Did it work?
No, it didn't work. In the end, the whole service was completely cancelled.
Oh, my God.
And the passengers had to get off the train.
Wow. Oh, all those people that were flying out of Gatwick.
Yeah, sorry, I couldn't get home to New York because I missed my flight because a squirrel got on the train. Yeah.
That is quintessentially British, though.
It is quintessentially British. I mean, I would like to say what they do in other countries, but I don't think it'd be quite as kind as luring them off with a packet of peanuts, to be honest with you.
It's the fact you said they got hijacked by squirrels, like, you know.
That was the wording in the article, hijacked, as if they sort of come on with little Uzis or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Started popping caps around,
yeah.
Second in the news this week, a woman has called an Uber taxi to remove a spider.
Good girl.
So 28-year-old Zoe Rebecca from Great Park in Newcastle booked a trip to her supermarket.
Right.
But when the driver turned up, he was just asked if he could get rid of the spider. And guy being kind of kind said yes, remove the spider.
Excellent.
The trip had a value of, I think it was like £6.
Right.
So there was a tenner in it because she said, I'll give you an extra five for the trip, so round it up to 10.
Yeah.
And then £10 tip as well. So he got 20 quid. Cool. He just rocked up, got rid of spider, didn't waste his petrol. She didn't get freaked out. Everybody's happy.
Absolutely, yeah.
Would you see yourself doing that sort of thing, Jo?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I have been known to ring people at 3 a.m. before because I cannot go for a little midnight bathroom. You know, because there's 8 legs in the bath, and I've been known to ring people in the middle of the night saying, can you come get them?
Really?
Yeah.
That's scared, eh?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you show me a money spider, I'll run a mile. Not the money, of course.
No, the money's always good that it brings, apparently. Yeah. But yeah, so the woman describes herself as a complete arachnophobe. You can imagine that.
That's me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, fair enough. I mean, if it's cost her 20 quid, but she's still got a sanity, she hasn't jumped out of the bedroom window or wherever it was in the flat, then all good. Yeah. Everybody's happy, including the driver.
Yeah, and I'm really pleased to learn that Uber are now offering this service. So, future spider catchers, beats Uber Eats.
I've got to say, I'm thinking about starting a little business myself. I'm quite happy to turn up. I'll even sort of turn up on a bike, on a motorbike.
Yeah.
Cut through the traffic a bit quicker to get to you.
Yeah.
I'll happily remove spiders. If it's a longer journey, I'm going to charge 50 quid. But
right.
Yeah. You imagine 10 loads a day. Happy days for everyone, including the arachnophobes.
Right. So ladies, there you go. Jags is on his scooter.
I will be there. I'll be there. Just call me Spider-Man. Right, so question one this week for you, Jojo.
Hmm.
How has dating changed? So what I mean is dating sites versus the old sort of chat up lines, the cheesy chat up lines versus friend hookups and so on. The good, the bad, the ugly of dating these days compared to 20, 30 years ago. Or, well, certainly compared to before the internet. Let's go with that.
It's so sad. I've got to say this, Jags, because I wish that guys would just approach women and just say, can I get you a drink, love? Or, you know, and yes, you might get... Women are a lot more fierce now, and I get that guys are scared of doing that because they're scared of rejection just like we are, but you've got to take a chance, and women are still wanting men to be that way. So that,
are they?
Yes, are they? They are. They really are. And I think it's charming in a way. Sometimes it's a bit creepy, you know, because if you're not attracted to them or you look up and someone's actually there with like 10 of his mates and you think, hang on a minute, no, go away, like, you know.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if you're like giving each other the eye across the room or whatever, a restaurant and everything, and then you go to the bar to order a drink and then suddenly find him next to you and saying, I'll get that for you. Mm-hmm. How lovely is that? It's all been taken away by
it's good
online
that you, dating. It's good that you see it that way. A lot of people don't, do they? That's the problem. No. A lot of people see it like an invasion of privacy and, you know, there might be two girls out having a chat about something serious, maybe, I don't know, maybe someone's passed away and they're there sort of talking about something serious. And then some guys come up trying to chat them up, bloody blah. Personally, I don't see anything wrong with it, but you can see how some people do. And I guess the problem arrives when you've got a partner. So, you know, you might be a bloke, you go to the loo, you come back and there's a bloke chatting up your missus. Some guys are going to be okay with that, I guess, and some guys aren't. It could cause issues. And the same with women, you know. Woman goes to the loo. Comes back, there's two women chatting to him or whatever. You can see how that might cause issues, that's all.
Yeah. But I think it only causes issues when you can see the other person's reaction. So, you know, if my partner went off to the loo and a guy came over and started talking to me, I immediately would say, sorry, mate, I'm not interested, I'm with someone. So they would be gone before my partner got back, you know?
Yeah, I've got to admit, I think compared to some of the alternatives, it's not bad to at least speak to somebody because, you know, you go on a dating site, okay, the good things about it, you can be more specific. You can put, well, I want, for a guy, you can put, I want a woman that's 5'4", I want it to have blonde hair, I want it to be thick set or slim or whatever. You know, and you can go into 100 or more different sort of areas of looks and interests as well, like I want someone who's sporty, I want someone who's not sporty, interested in film, art, blah blah. So you can cipher down quite a lot that way. That's a good thing. But going back to the old chat up lines and meeting people out and about, you don't hear the voice. And I don't know about you, but for me, the voice and people's mannerisms is everything as well. Somebody can look like an angel, but open their mouth, and to me, it's just that person might be a complete turn-off.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, I've used online dating apps, and you're right, you can filter it to your preferences of who you're looking for. So especially, I wouldn't want to go out with a 20-year-old, say, you know, so I would put it in my age range. And, you know, I personally prefer someone that's got blonde hair or blue eyes, or, you know, not necessarily dark features. But at the same time, what I don't like is when immediately you get a message, WhatsApp me. And it's a case of you're put on the, do I do it? Because like you said, they want to hear your voice. And you're absolutely right that, you know, because you want someone that's going to be on the same wavelength as you.
Uh-huh.
Not necessarily as educated as you, but that's going to get you when you talk. Bit of banter, you know, and you've got that kind of positivity vibe going on in your voice as well. So in terms of that, I get it, but then naughty things happen on WhatsApp, don't they?
Well, yeah, I suppose they do, but they could happen anywhere, couldn't they? I don't know.
Hmm.
Yeah, I suppose there is an element of people hiding behind technology. You know, if somebody's like 50 miles away and they're on the end of a phone, by WhatsApp or, you know, social media, whatever. Yeah, they can send dodgy pictures and all the rest of it.
Hmm.
But that cuts both ways. That's not just male, that's female as well. Some people like that sort of thing, some don't.
Yeah.
I think you can quickly cut people off online. Sometimes it's a lot easier to do that than it is in person. So, you know, good and bad, I think.
Yeah. And all this ghosting stuff, I mean, you know, is that what it's about? Is that what ghosting means? That you literally block somebody if you
yeah, basically, yeah.
Oh my gosh!
But so, what's wrong with that? If you're not into them,
wow.
I mean, I think really it's worth a quick plight. Look, it's not working between us or whatever.
Exactly.
I'm not into you, but rather than ghosting. But even that, it's a sign of the times. People see people as commodities, I think, as well, sadly.
Mm.
And, you know, all right, well, I haven't got the time to say goodbye to him. I'll just ghost him.
Yeah.
Just block him and that's it. We're having a perfectly reasonable conversation. So, yeah, it is a bit, it's a little bit strange. But let's be honest, I know a lot of single people. And some of them just don't meet people because they don't go out. They don't go to pubs anymore or clubs or the sort of traditional places where you might meet people. And there tends to be a lot more single people. And they're just on their own. And they don't necessarily want to be. So from that point of view, as far as I see it, unless you put those fish hooks out there, unless you cast those hooks into the water, you know, you're not going to catch a fish. And, or you're far less likely to. So I don't see anything wrong with it.
Hmm. Yeah. I think the only thing about online dating that is always the worry with anyone is the amount of fake people there is out there, fake profiles.
That is a worry. And to be honest, I've lost count of the amount of people that just have pictures that are on there that are like done in Photoshop, and those that aren't are kind of the picture of somebody from 20 years ago, look nothing like what they were whatsoever. And yeah, it's a bit of a waste of time, especially if you, like, imagine if you live in 10, 20 miles from that person or more. And you take time out of your day or night to go and meet them, and it's just not the same person at all. It's a bit of a pain, and people have sort of fed back to me that that is the downside of online dating. You know, you get a lot of fakes in one way or another. You have to really sift through to get what you're looking for. So, good and bad, but as a general thing, I think it's good.
Mm.
And you?
Yeah. I mean, look, I just went to a wedding of two people that met online a few years ago now, and they just recently got married. So it clearly works. They're not the first couple I've heard about that, you know, have that going on. So, but yeah, I mean, in terms of relationships, I think it is the way forward.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, point of discussion this week. We're talking about sleep, dreams, nightmares, and the likes of.
Mm-hmm.
So everything that happens in bed that's not the other thing, obviously. the actual rest side of things, if you like. And a little bit of discussion with you, Jojo, on, well, first of all, 6, 7, or 8 hours, they're sort of averages. Would you say you're...
Yeah, what? I can last on 6 hours, not every single day. Optimally, I'd like to have 7 hours, but it's not always possible. So, but yeah, I can do 6.5 hours, so on a weeknight. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, doing some research, many people, sort of sleep councils around the world and stuff, are saying 7 hours is optimal for an adult.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously longer for children. Babies a lot longer and toddlers a lot longer. But it's a massive subject. It's been studied for so many years. And chucked into that is things like siestas.
Yeah.
I mean, what's your take on those?
Yeah, I'm not a big day sleeper. Only if I get ill, I'll have a lay down on the sofa, or if I'm completely zonked by my illness, But yeah, in terms of sleep, I do love my sleep. I've got to be honest. I'm one of these people that, since I kind of hit the pillow, I'm out within sort of 10-15 minutes, and I'm not a heavy sleeper. I can sense what's going on around me. However, I will be out until 6 o'clock the next morning.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I mean, I think people forget the importance of it, me included. Sort of years ago, just working sort of long hours, and then because I was sort of travelling around for work a lot, sales guy, working good 10 hours sometimes. And then after work, it's still kind of work. You go for a drink with colleagues and you might be there until 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. And you know you've got to be up at 6. So 1, 2 o'clock in the morning, you're talking 4 hours sleep. And trying to survive on that each night for a week or the best part of it, it's not fun. And you start to realise, I mean, I see myself and my own sort of functioning. I can't remember things the same. I can't function with, I don't know, just like alertness, that seems to go.
Mm.
And, just your times, we're doing reaction times, that sort of thing. It just really goes downhill. So, yeah, I'm all for getting the right amount of sleep, definitely.
What are you like when you have a nightmare? Do you like freak out, get up, have a glass of water, or do you try and go back to sleep straight away and think of something
else?
Yeah,
to be honest, I try and go back to sleep. They don't normally affect me that much. But I do find it's weird, I don't know about you, I find it's really weird that some dreams are so vivid and others you can just about remember a couple of details from the dream.
Yeah.
But yes, yet some can be so clear.
Yeah.
It's like you're watching a film actually in your head right there and then. You see every detail of the trees and the sky and the sun or whatever.
Mm.
And I don't know how that works, how some are really vivid and others aren't. I find it interesting.
Yeah. No, there'll be nights where I have quite a lot of, I can remember my dreams quite vividly the next day, and I dream quite a lot. And I have a reoccurring dream as well about a big house in the middle of a forest. And over the years, it's changed in terms of little things, things like the flowers on the table are different, or sometimes the furniture's covered up with cloths,
And do you think maybe in a past life you might have been Rapunzel or something?
Maybe, yeah. Right. So, it is a curvy stairwell to the top.
Did you have long hair in the dream?
No. All I can feel is myself floating. So, yeah, I'm not actually walking. I'm just sort of floating towards the house, and I go inside and there's a woman playing the piano, or can hear the piano playing. So it's a bit, like I said, it changes. It's changed over the years, but apparently it's to do with the changes going on in my life. So it's to do with my finances. So I wonder if other people have similar things,
Yeah, so it's just interesting to hear. I mean, dreams are a bit like the rest of psychology, really. They are just theories. I mean, I remember years ago, my mum used to have a dream book, a dream interpretation book.
Right.
But I'd say pretty much 99% of that book is theoretical.
Right.
If you dream about a whale, apparently it's to do with Mother Nature. Is it so? Is it true? Who would know? Nobody would, really. They are just theories, but interesting ones. Definitely interesting.
Yeah. No, I think dreams are fantastic things.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
And I am going to win the Euro Millions one day. That's my biggest
dream.
It could be you. I'm pretty sure that most of our listeners have had that dream as well.
Right, well, I'm going to move on to the next subject. And it's one that really bugbears me. And it's the sort of service, not the sort of service, the service that we get in restaurants these days compared to how it was 20 years ago, 10 years ago even, and certainly longer. And I went for a meal the other day, and it was literally a week ago, and I noticed the same thing that I've seen more and more and more happening around the UK, and that is waiters and waitresses coming out of the kitchen with plates of food, delivering those plates of foods to the table, as they should do, but then going back past really dirty tables with loads of stuff on them, like bowls, plates, glasses, whatever, completely empty-handed. And as a result, the restaurant's dirty. You know, you sit there, you're paying really good money out of your wages to go for a nice meal in a nice environment. And what you don't want to do is sit there and look to your left-hand side. Oh, there's a dirty plate, a load of dirty bowls, and some lipstick on some glasses, you know, and loads of crumbs over the table. And they're all sat there, and I've got to look at them for the next hour. And I used to work in restaurants. And the first one I worked in, I was trained what I consider to be properly. And the guy just said to me, never go back to the kitchen empty-handed. It's like the number one rule.
Yeah.
And I literally watch, whenever I go for a meal now, I watch loads of people walking back empty-handed with these dirty tables everywhere. And people can say, oh, but they're busy and it's this and that. Well, you're not too busy to walk back with a plate in your hand. You know, you get in the kitchen anyway. And it just keeps the environment nice for people. So, yeah, it's a bugbear of mine. It really gets on my nerves.
But just simplifying that, if they're serving a table, that means that table is now full. There's no other seats to be taken up. You would want a new table, wouldn't you? So it makes sense to clear the old one, take the dirty dishes back, wipe it down, you've got a new table and fresh for people walking in.
That's right.
It's common sense.
It's common sense. And it's not really the waiters and waitresses that should be blamed for this, or serving staff, as you might call them these days. It's the manager. It goes up to the manager, and the manager should be training people. That's number one. That is number one. Clean tables is number one. I mean, I've been in places, I'm sure we all have, where, you know, you sit down, table looks all right, it's clear of plates, but you put your arm down, you've got a T-shirt on.
Sticky.
And it's sticky, because there's been beer or wine spilt on there, fizzy drinks. And they don't wipe it properly. And again, it's like, why should I have to put up with that? I wouldn't put up with it if I was at home, the table's sticky, you'd clean it properly, wouldn't you?
Absolutely.
Straight away. Wouldn't put up with it. But in the UK, good old Blighty, we seem to just put up with it for some reason.
Yeah.
Don't understand it. Never will. And it's a bit like you're talking about new customers coming through. The amount of times I've been to a restaurant, you walk in, before there's a big sign saying, please wait to be seated.
Yeah.
Right, so you can't go and sit down. You're waiting there, you're a walker inner from the street, so they don't know you're coming, right? You're walking in, you stood there for 5 minutes, looking around, you can see a waiter's like looked at you, he's ignored you, walked past. Surely, again, that should be number one priority, right? Do you know what? There's a new customer just walked in here.
Hmm.
We weren't expecting them, or maybe you were, even worse.
Yeah.
We weren't expecting, it's a new customer. That's money going into the bank straight away. That's number one. Get him sorted. Get him sitting down, that family sitting down, before anything else.
Mm.
Don't understand it.
I've got a point on that, though, Jags. A friend of mine, very quickly, he took over a large conglomerate restaurant, okay? I won't give the brand's name. And they divide it up into sections. So one waitress, A, she's got like six tables. Waitress B has got six tables down on the bottom left, and waitress C and D and E and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
They've all got their own sections. And some of those tables are already reserved because you've got booking time, so forth. So when you see a walk-in stood at the waitress B might have three empty tables according to the walk-in. However, she hasn't because they're actually reserved tables and she hasn't got a spare table to take that walk-in in. So she'll ignore the customer. And for me, that was a really, really bad bugbear.
Yeah,
I used to say to my friend, you really need to address that. Even if she goes and says to the customer, look, I've only got reserved tables, but I know my colleague has got a spare table. I will go and let her know you're waiting. Yep. End of story. But it doesn't happen.
No, it doesn't happen anymore. And again, it's a bugbear because you're right in what you say, Jo. All you need to do is acknowledge somebody.
Yeah.
We're all creatures of habit. And it is just, we're used to from times past, somebody going, hello, and almost like, I can't serve you right now, but I'm letting you know that you are important, you're a customer, you're there. I'm letting you know that we're there as well, we know you're there. And then you relax, you think, oh, well, I know they've got me on the way, you know, I'm going to be sorted.
Hmm.
That's what it takes.
Yeah. Yeah, often when I go into my dealership, you know, the service team will acknowledge me, even though I can see they're all busy, they'll say, we'll be with you in a second. And that's all it needs. That's and it I'm takes. Happy to wait.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, totally. So, UK, pull your socks up when it comes to service, please, because it's getting a bit unbearable in some places.
Hmm.
It really is, isn't it?
Yeah.
It puts you off wanting to go out for a meal.
It does.
Which is sad.
Yeah.
Because everybody needs food. And when I was young and studying, being a waiter was a good thing to do. It was good for money. It was quick, easy.
I was going to say, you're going to get more tips, aren't you? If you're going to be like really attentive to that customer. And it's killing the hospitality trade. Let's try and keep them going, you know?
Yeah, so. And it's killing it in the UK. I mean, you go to places like Spain, Greece, Italy. They see it as a profession. So waitering is a profession. And because they're so good at it, they can live on the wages because they get a lot of tips. You know, if somebody's excellent, and I know that you were saying you went out for a meal recently with some friends and the service was excellent and you gave, I don't know what it was, it's about 20 quid tip between the table. That's 20 quid for a waitress. That's a lot of money. If she gets, you know, three or four of those in a day plus the rest.
Yeah.
It's worth doing. It's worth the extra effort for the service. So,
yeah,
I rest my case. Okay, so now we're on to one word in the grave, the part where we look at words, decide whether they should stay in the grave because they're a bit old-fashioned or whatever, or whether they should come out and be reused because they're cool words. Today's word is yuppies.
Yuppies.
Yuppies. Remember that word?
Yeah, very London word, yuppie.
Yeah, it's a Del Boy word, really, wasn't it?
It is a Del Boy word, yeah. Big Filofax and a huge Motorola handset in your... But, yeah, I mean, they don't exist anymore because people make their money from however they make their money. And
I think I'll have to disagree that they certainly do exist.
Well,
they just don't have a name anymore.
Is it new money, old money? I don't know, you know. But, yeah. I mean, is a Tesla driver a yuppie, do you reckon?
They could fall into that bracket, possibly.
Right. Okay.
But not necessarily. I mean, Tesla's a pretty cool car. I think it's a pretty good car.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say a yuppie was nowadays, the equivalent is a posh wannabe, but that's a bit of a mouthful. Somebody who really wants to be in a different social class than the one they're in, and they'll just try their hardest to be in that social class with accents and Teslas maybe and this and that. Hmm. Not that there's anything wrong with doing well. There isn't. I think it's great that people look towards doing well in life. But there are a certain amount of people that are what I would say a posh wannabes, and they would fill the boots of what used to be a yuppie, I suppose, from my point of view.
Hmm. I think it stays in the grave, though. That one.
The word, yeah, I don't like the word either.
No.
I really don't like it. But maybe there should be a new word to describe a yuppie.
I think they're called wags.
Wags. That would assume that they're only female. But,
or whams.
Or whams. Yeah. Wigwams. We call them wigwams.
Wabs. Yeah, wabs.
Okay, and on to location frustration now.
Mm-hmm.
A few clues about a place and you try and work out where it is. Don't Google, use your noodle, it's only for fun. So clue number one, the Norman Conquest started in this place, it started here. Clue number two, the Bayeux Tapestry tells the story of this place. The Bayeux Tapestry, I was looking at it earlier, it's over 200 feet long. That's a serious piece of tapestry. 200 feet
proper
long.
Proper work of art, that one, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I've only seen it online. Have you seen it? actually in person?
I thought I had, but when I looked into it, it actually is probably one of the replicas that's going around. So,
and clue three is, this place remembers a specific date, which is the 14th of October, but which year? And that's your clues for this place this week.
Mm-hmm.
So it's time for us to skedaddle.
Yeah. Find us on all the socials, guys.
Yeah. You know where we are. Also on Alexa now.
Yeah.
Just say, Alexa, play the Jags and JoJo show, and it'll come up. And on to the very last bit, which is today's really bad joke. Don't forget.
Go on, then.
It's a really bad joke, so don't expect anything too good. And it is, why can't you hear a pterodactyl in the toilet?
Why can't you hear a pterodactyl in the toilet? I don't know. Go on.
Because it has a silent P. Ba-bum.
Oh, Jags, you're funny.
Yeah, I wish I was. Unfortunately not. All right, guys.
The big stage is calling you.
To sweep it, yeah.
Well, guys, you take care. Let us know where we are. And like I said, comment on all of the socials.
Adios.
Bye. The Jags and JoJo Show.